The 920 KVEC Podcast Network is presented by the Slo County Real Estate Podcast with Hal Swayze. Up-to-date information on the local real estate market on your time. New episodes weekly at the podcast link at 920kvec.com and wherever you get your podcasts. California DRE 01111911.
.506 on the Central Coast. It's Thursday, March 14th, 2024, where I get to tell Craig Hill that tomorrow, Craig, we will be enjoying cheesecake from Lynn's.
Ooh.
Yum, 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 yum.
Ooh, awesome. Love cheesecake.
Lance Parker may have to stick around.
Oh, I was going
to
say, you never bring me in on Friday. I'm wondering why.
Well, there's more cheesecake for us.
That's right.
Look at you.
Yeah.
I'm telling you,
I'm basically about one slice of cheesecake away from 300 pounds.
No, you're fit, you're fine. Just stay off those golf carts.
Yeah.
I got to get my ducks in the row, but at some point, Sue, I want to go on a rant. Yeah, I'm doing research about how many public information officers, PIOs, are currently employed by San Luis Obispo County. These are jobs that you are paying for. Why is it that all these individual departments have their own public affairs PR person? I'm not ready to make my case yet, but I'm doing the research because I was stunned by how many people are employed to do a job that a couple people could do, but it's government. May I make that observation? Tribune has the article. Where am I? Let me go to my notes here. The Tribune has the article, Slo County Behind on Affordable Housing Goals. Here's the opening. San Luis Obispo County's affordable housing shortage means it needs to greenlight more than 1,600 new units in the next 5 years, and the Board of Supervisors is taking steps to reach that goal. I guess a PIO will come out with a press release. How daunting is that target? It's five times the number the county has permitted in the last 5 years. Only 5.4% of households in the county can afford to buy a median price home. Meanwhile, 66% of jobs in this county pay less than $50,000 per year, which is the minimum amount a household needs to afford to buy a newly built home in the region. Lance says, give it up.
Yeah.
Give it up.
It's government at its finest.
If you don't have a house now, just move. You're never going to afford one.
Probably not. You're probably not going to be able to afford. You know, it's interesting. You're talking about the 1,600 new units over the next 5 years, and but the way it's broken down, and I know we'll probably get into this a little later. The one that struck me was there's four different classifications that the state puts in there, and one of them is very low income, and starting in January of 2019, over the next 10 years, the county was mandated by the state, by Sacramento, to at least build 801 very low-income units.
Right.
801 very low-income units over 10 years. That's only 80 a year.
Right. And why the one? Why can't it be 800?
Well, but here's the interesting thing. In the last 5 years and 3 months, we have built seven.
Yep.
Seven. That's not even 1% of our requirement. My question to the Board of Supes, and hopefully one of or two of them are listening, is why has it taken you 5 years to get to this point, and then all of a sudden, now we're going to make a change?
Oh, it's easy, because they've been too busy focused on the 10-year plan to end homelessness.
But this is the whole thing. Every one of those people.
That was sarcasm.
I know it was. Every one of those people that is sitting as a board of supervisor ran on affordable housing.
Yeah.
And now we're 5 years in, and all of a sudden we've got to come up creatively. It's like we knew this was coming. This is another example of the failure of government, and everybody wants to put their eggs in one basket of having the government take care of us.
Or maybe we could solve two problems at once. If we were able to reduce the cost of housing, we wouldn't have as many homeless people. living in their cars, not knowing where they're going to spend tonight because they can't afford housing.
Exactly. They're working full time, but they cannot afford housing, but they're working full time. Where, just as a quick calculation, we've talked about this before, the state has spent over $17 billion on homelessness. Let's just take two-thirds of that and say we're going to give zero down low interest loans to people who are homeless but working full time or low income and working. You could have, at the medium home price of $500,000, you could loan out to 24,000 units statewide with $12 billion.
It makes too much sense.
You're not giving the money. You're loaning the money. The mortgage company, in essence, is the state. They hold the lien on the property. The person moving in is making payments, 1 or 2% mortgage rate. The state then, when the house is sold, that mortgage is paid off, and it can go on from there. The state owns the property until it's paid off. Why not do that? They're talking in the program, down payment assistance. I say just let the state become a mortgage lender.
Do you know of any state that does that?
Not off the top of my head. I hadn't had a chance to do any
California
research.
California always goes first. So why not?
I'll tell you, the real estate and mortgage lobby would probably be crushing the state, saying you can't do that. You'll put us out of business. You can't be competitive. But I know PERS, you can get PERS loans, and PERS will do reverse mortgages. So I don't know why we can't be creative with this money.
Well, and just to underscore it, continuing with the article, this county is so far behind from meeting its state-mandated affordable housing goals, it must permit the development of another 1,604 affordable housing units by the end of 2028.
Yeah, but the one that gets me is, why are we all of a sudden 5 years in, halfway, more than halfway down, and now we're sending stuff to the Planning Commission to figure this out so it could come back to the board and go, okay, we've done this, we've done that. We're not going to meet this goal. I haven't figured out what the penalty is from the state.
That was going to be my next question.
What penalty we are going to hit if we don't hit this.
I believe they cut, I believe they cut funding.
Yeah, I'm sure they do. And this is another reason why I've always argued against central control. Leave it up to the locals. Let's figure out what's best for our community, not what's best coming out of Sacramento.
But maybe we need to get realistic, Lance, and just say there are certain parts of the country, unfortunately ours included, where housing isn't affordable for many, if not most people.
I've always said that. You can live anywhere you want as long as you can afford it. There's places I'd love to live that I can't afford.
Yeah, but then they come back, well, but we need people to support our infrastructure. We need people who aren't wealthy, who are just living paycheck to paycheck, because they're the ones doing these jobs that keep our community going.
And that's where the local control would come in, because they would look and go, we have this need, we need to fill this need. Because if we can't find service and people aren't here in this area to do service, it'll just be, they'll move somewhere else. But let the locals, we know what's best for us.
Yes, but I get the argument about Sacramento enforcing it, because otherwise it's clear we would just ignore it.
But we would have to do something.
Compels us to respond.
But to me, we would figure this out, because if people say, well, you won't have the baristas working at Starbucks. Well, you know what? Starbucks would figure out, if they wanted to do business here, if we wanted to have that, we would figure out how to make that economy, that part of the economy, work.
If you're just joining us, Lance Parker sits in with me as we talk about this article in the Tribune about our county. We're way behind on state affordable housing goals. Not that you need to be reminded of that, but we are. And what county officials believe must be done to catch up. Is that possible, and is that a worthy goal? A lot to ponder. We'll be back right here on KVEC. You'll like this, Lance. First text on the Stolberg text line, Lance for governor.
Oh, yeah. Far from that. Far from that.
Let's go to Jeff in Cayucas on KVEC. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Dave. Hi, Lance. How you guys doing?
Hi, Jeff.
We're good, Jeff.
You know, every time I hear about this happy talk about affordable housing, it drives me nuts. And, you know, Dave, I have been working with Bob Ather to try to build 15 affordable by design affordable housing units up in San Simeon for over a year. And, you know, one of the big impediments to affordable housing is the land acquisition cost. And the project up there is affordable because Bob bought the land like 17 years ago when it was cheap. And
yeah.
He's got a piece of property between an old rundown motel and an existing small condo complex. So you're not like cutting down any riparian area to do it. And he gets nothing but pushback from the county. As a matter of fact, when the Coastal Commission, sent back questions to be answered to approve his for process, and the county sat on the letter for 7 months without sending it along to get the work done over to the district. And ultimately, even then, when the guy that wants to build affordable housing in the county has it done at his own expense and sends it back, they slow walk it for another 7 months. And so it's really just a shell game, because the places where affordable housing can be built are places where there isn't a lot of development. And so you get these not-in-my-backyard NIMBYs who don't want to have affordable housing near them.
That's right.
San Simeon suffers from the fact that there's no workplace housing. So the people that work in the motels there and clean people's houses and work in the restaurants start driving over from Paso Robles or other places, or living four or five families in a motel room over there, because they can't afford the gas to come over. But yet, the county is like the biggest roadblock there is to the first affordable housing up there in what would be 37 years.
Let's hear from Lance on that. Lance?
Yeah, Jeff, and here's the issue that I have is the people who are really in control of that are not accountable to anybody. Dave had the person on from Grover Beach earlier in the week.
Debbie Peterson.
And the process that was going on down there, we have people in government that aren't accountable to anybody that are doing this to us. It could have easily, why does it take 7 months when something could have been done probably in a week?
Yeah.
And like you say, they're purposely slowing it because they can, and they know that they're not held accountable.
Jeff, what else?
Oh, no, I was just going to say that it's really ludicrous because, and I guess the county does not want to support any affordable housing it can't control or make a buck off of. And, even in this case, they would earn property tax on it, and the district up there that provides the water and sewer connections, which is constantly on the verge of being broke, gets the fees every month for 15 new units. So every entity that would benefit from affordable housing comes out ahead, even if you forget about the people that actually need it. And so you gotta wonder, why isn't it happening? It's because the people that are running the county really don't want it, except what they decided on it.
Yeah.
That's problematic.
So says Jeff. All right, Jeff, thanks for the call. No disagreement here. We go to George in Santa Margarita. Hey, George.
Hello, Dave.
Hey, George.
If I were the county government, I would put a stop to all development in this county until the state makes it six lanes of freeway on 101, three in each direction, and takes care of some of these on-ramp, off-ramps through San Luis Obispo. The state needs to make some improvements before we create more traffic.
If we're going to be mandated that way, I would have to agree with you, George, that then Sacramento needs to take care of, like you say, the infrastructure, Highway 58, 101, through the county. Yeah, it's kind of like, okay, if you want it, if we build it, you better build along with it. Give us the infrastructure.
But George, where are we getting the money to pay for six lanes of highway?
No, it's three in each direction, and that has been a long-term plan since the 80s.
Yeah, but
through Slocog.
But who's paying for it?
taxpayers, the gas tax. If you look at 101 coming, going to work in the morning from coming from Limpopo to San Luis, it's bumper to bumper.
Yep. Yep. I used to do that ride. I know it very well. All right, George. Thank you. Here's Alan on KVEC. Hi, Alan.
Hey, Dave. Hey, Lance.
Hi, Alan.
When you were reading this about the mandate, it specified only, I'll call it, new buildings, new units, or they just had to be additional units?
I have a question behind that. I don't know.
Yeah, you know what, Alan, I don't know.
Because here's where I'm getting at. Commercial property that's not being used, that could be converted, so the state could buy out those buildings or work with a contractor to take it over and convert it to units, housing units.
Like the Ross and Beverly's downtown.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah.
But even then, I'm going to say, without really looking into it, I would say that those would count as new housing units. So it's like there is no, you know, we've got 1,000 houses right now. You do that, now we've got 1,001 houses. So we've increased the number of housing units.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many different creative ways we could be doing this, but here again, it's another failure of government. Why we're all of a sudden doing this 5 years in?
You're a libertarian, aren't you?
Well, it's a failure of government.
Lucky guess. All right, Alan, thank you. Let's get to Danny on KVEC. Hi, Danny.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm in total agreement with George. I sit in traffic every single night going home all the way to Santa Maria. I'm in the Shell Beach crawl, three lanes of backed up traffic all the way to San Luis Obispo. This highway system is just abysmal. And even the condition of the roads through this area is abysmal. It's time to tell the state your plans for all these houses has to be on hold until you come up with infrastructure.
What about car? Hang on, Danny. What about carpooling? Don't you carpool?
With the job I have, our hours are too much. It's just not practical. It's just not practical. Or a bicycle. I ride my motorcycle as much as I can to get through this traffic.
I'd just say be careful, Danny, because I know what the traffic's like, and if you're on your motorcycle, be careful. But yeah, no, you're absolutely right. You know, I hadn't really thought what George had said, but we've got, you know, we got to make sure if we're going to build it, we've got the infrastructure.
But do you have any idea how much that would cost to go six
lanes?
Okay,
then you know what? Then we're not building houses. I think George has a real good point. If until you give us the infrastructure, how can we build houses? Think about it. If we haven't done this much housing and we've still got this much pressure on our infrastructure.
Yeah, but look at Prado Road. I want to live long enough to have Prado Road go all the way through to Broad. And what do they tell you time and again? It's up to the city. We build houses, and that's what pays for the road.
Yeah,
no houses, no road.
But the houses were put in, and we still don't have the road.
Well, what do you want?
See, here's another example of a failure of the government.
All right, Lance Parker back on Hometown Radio talking about the article in the Tribune, Slow County Behind on Affordable Housing Goals. Is anyone surprised? Now, what about George's idea? No new houses until we get the highway infrastructure we need. We've got California Headline News, ABC Radio News, Traffic and Weather together, and more of your phone calls for Lance. Stay with us. Have landed on the Dave Congleton Show, always your hometown radio talk show, in conversation with longtime libertarian Lance Parker.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
I don't know why I have to explain that. It's pretty clear from your argument here. Tribune has the article, Slo County Behind in Affordable Housing Goals. We are way behind. We need so much more affordable housing. But I'm hearing a backlash from you, the listeners, because you're calling and saying, hell no, no more affordable housing until we get the infrastructure to go along with it. Back on the phones we go. Jennifer's in Oceano. Hey, Jennifer.
Hi, Dave.
Hey, Jennifer.
Hello to your guest.
Hi, Jennifer.
So I just think it's really interesting, and I don't disagree that I think that we need infrastructure to go along with or to precede the affordable housing. But the fact of the matter is, when you're talking about the...
oh, dear. No. Jennifer.
Yep.
Jennifer, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. You can't hear me?
Yeah, well, you're about to say the fact of the matter is what?
Oh, okay. When it comes to expanding 101 there through Shell Beach, where it's so bad, didn't we have a thing that we voted on a few years ago trying to get the money from taxpayers, and they said no? I must have lost you again.
No, we're hearing you. I'm just trying to remember that vote.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember it also. I mean, it probably would have been a state bond.
Caltrans is going to put in this temporary lane southbound that will help during the rush hour, but that doesn't even begin to solve the problem. I'm lost you, Jennifer.
Yeah.
So, well, let's roll.
It's interesting because, I mean, I've been in the county a long time, and trust me, I know when, you know, you listen to Craig, all of us could almost write the traffic problems. But if you travel this any other time, travel southbound on 101 on a Sunday morning, Friday evening, Friday at 10 in the morning, it's not bad. And it's only during traffic time.
I disagree. As somebody who lived in Arroyo Grande, I was amazed by on weekends how busy the 101 was coming through Pismo.
See, we do not have traffic. If we want traffic.
No, I'm talking about heavy bumper to bumper traffic.
You know, we do not have traffic in this county except very specific times.
Let's hear from Craig. Craig, what do you think about all this?
I just kind of want the government to stay out of it. If private industry or private, nonprofits want to do something, that's fine. But one thing I don't like is government mandates. I don't like them mandating rent controls. I don't like them mandating pet rules for landlords, industry-specific wage mandates. I don't want to deal with anything from the government. We need to let the private sector and private property owners determine in the free market what they want to do. And it's not a free market if it's dictated by overreaching government mandates.
All right. But let me follow up on that with Lance. If it's free market, the developers, by and large, are going to go for the expensive homes because that's how they make money.
Yeah,
they don't do affordable housing because they're Lindsey Horne and they care about the community. They're doing it because they're required to do it.
Okay, so if you think about this, the only group of the four that the state has set up above moderate income, the county has allowed more units than we were mandated for that. The county has allowed that. But the other three that, quote unquote, would be more affordable housing, the county hasn't even come close to that. So I agree with Craig about the mandates. Fine. If you're going to mandate it, why aren't you doing it?
Yeah.
And it's our elected officials that every one of them ran on affordable housing. They have not told the developers, hey, you can't build those big homes. You've only got to build the small homes.
805-543-8830, 800-549-5832. A texter on the Stolberg line is thinking that Jennifer was referring to Measure J. Wasn't that the gas tax? That would have given us the money to do infrastructure and expand.
But I didn't think that was for the state highway.
I'm not sure. Also on the Stolberg line, look how much money has been wasted on the train to nowhere. Well, you have all sorts of examples of money being wasted.
This is another example of the government says, we're going to help with affordable housing. Look at this program we've started. Look at this program. This has been around for 5 years. We were supposed to build so much in 10 years. We're 5 years in, and our elected officials of the county have failed us. Every one of them has failed us.
Well, but now they're embracing, and many city officials are embracing, too, the idea of an ADU. I've got nothing against ADUs, but that seems to be the fix. Well, we can't build more affordable housing. We can't build more housing. But what we can do is those of you that have a house already, we're going to let you add an ADU.
See, and one of the things, if we want home ownership, we need to be able to sell that ADU as a condo. So that person living in there actually owns that ADU like a condo, and they can sell it.
But do you agree with my premise that we seem to be shifting towards ADUs as a fix here?
It's one of the fixes that we're doing. But I think Jeff early on had a prime example of the county that's been selling us a bill of goods of we're all for affordable housing. Has a project that would fit. I thought it was interesting between a motel and a small condo unit, and they've just been for years. Why hasn't this thing been built? And I'll tell you, it's because of unelected officials
Let's take a call.
Accountable to anybody.
We got
holding the process.
We
up.
Got Charlie on KVEC. Hey, Charlie.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
You know, this county, for the size of the county, has the best public transportation system overall. They have good buses. They run them everywhere, but no one will ride them. And so, when you ask Dave, every time you've ever asked a person in the years I've listened to you, do you carpool? They go, oh, no, it'll be too hard. Oh, no, you don't have the time. Oh, no. So don't complain about the crowds going back and forth, because back in 1956, the city of Los Angeles had a study, and all they did is they stood on the freeway and looked over, and they saw most of the cars that caused the traffic were one person.
Yep.
For years, when I worked for Lockheed, we carpooled. We went 50 miles each way, and it was great.
I have friends who work at UCSB, and there's a van out of Santa Maria every weekday morning, and they just get in the van, and they go to work, and then they come back at the end of the day.
Sure, and that's it. There's something about people that once they own a car, man, they don't want to go near public transportation.
Yeah, but
paying for it. You're paying for what you're not using.
Yeah, fair enough. Charlie, good to hear from you. Although I'm one of those guys. I don't use public transportation.
But
I got a car.
You know what? It's the convenience. I'm very public supportive of public transportation. If it works, it works. And a lot of places I've traveled to, I've only used public transportation.
Well, let's go to Don in Arroyo Grande. Hey, Don.
Hi, Dave.
Hey, Don.
You mentioned ADUs.
Yeah.
And one of the problems with ADUs is the way the law is written. It's so full of holes, it looks like Swiss cheese. And they've got exemptions for everything for the developer. And the biggest argument I have is they're allowing multiple ADUs in single-family zoning areas, which eliminate zoning. There's no use to have any zoning if you're going to turn single-family housing zoning into multifamily and commercial operations.
Yeah, you know, and that's one of the things that they talked about here in the article, that we need to come up with new zoning rules. And yeah, if you're on an R1 lot and all of a sudden you've got three households there, well, is that really maybe we need to, instead of having an R1 lot and an R2, it's just we have a residential lot and we can go as many as we can fit from lot line to lot line.
No, that's not the way to go.
Well,
that's exactly
well,
what I'm arguing
well,
about, is you're changing the character of the community.
Bingo.
You know, we already have multifamily areas and where apartments are and things like that, and people buy in single-family zoning because they want to live with other homeowners, not renters.
Exactly. I agree with Don.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying is the government there is forcing people to be creative, and that is one way of them being creative. But
government be creative. Let them build houses.
Well, the states who's mandating this.
Yep.
Yeah.
The city almost has their hands tied.
Exactly.
I'm fighting it next door right now.
And you're absolutely right. And this goes back to my earlier argument about getting out of Sacramento and having the local control.
Good luck with that. All right, Don, thank you. Let's hear from Bob in San Luis. Hey, Bob.
Hi, Dave. Hi, Lance.
Hey, Bob.
So there was one mention of looking at the old Ross and Beverly's buildings as potential housing units.
Yeah.
And I know that at least the Ross building has a fairly distinct upstairs and a downstairs, actually, as well. I don't think the whole building could be converted to housing because you really don't want ground floor housing in a downtown business hub or area. And I'm sorry, here comes my loud cat. Let me pick him up.
You must be listening to Dave Congleton.
Anyway, so if you were to subdivide either one of those buildings on the ground floor to make it like a mall that you could have independent vendors in, and then you put housing above,
yeah,
that could work.
Yeah.
The thing is, as somebody else was talking about the impacted freeway traffic, we are unfortunately too car-centric in our area. And having people that live in Atascadero, Paso Robles, drive to San Luis Obispo to work, and some of the jobs that are not head of household paying type jobs, that just adds to the congestion. And each community really should try to do their best at having housing available for their workforce housing. And part of that is the fact that a lot of these developments sometimes, I'm not sure how it works in our town, but I know in certain communities, a housing development will open up on the market and an investment group will come in and buy all the single family homes and turn around and rent them. I called the mayor one time and mentioned this and said, this is something the city should look into to see if this is happening in our area. Because if it is, that's contributing to higher housing costs without any net gains for anybody but the people that own the new developments.
Lance?
Well, but Bob, you know, and I totally agree with you, you know, the investment groups are coming in and buying, but our county has built 7 very low income houses, and we're supposed to have built 801 in 10 years, and we built 7. So if you're not building them, if they built the 800 of them, the investment groups could not buy those. Okay, we're not building affordable housing. We're building housing.
Yeah.
And the gist of the article is the only housing that we are ahead of schedule on is the above moderate income housing. We're not building anything that is affordable.
What else, Bob?
You know, as far as affordable goes, there was an argument presented the other day talking about how costs have come up for different things, like housing, like automobiles, whatnot. And the argument was the cost on, like, automobiles went crazy because of what Craig was complaining about, government intervention mandates for safety. A lot of the improvements on the cars were all safety-focused, as well as improving performance as far as mileage and whatnot. This is kind of the same thing for housing. Used to be you could slap up a timber frame house. You didn't insulate it. You slapped on, you know, clapboard siding, or you stuccoed it, and you didn't really insulate it, and you put sheetrock up, and you were called it done. Now the building has to be developed with a close to airtight envelope. It's got to have all of these energy efficiencies looked at and adhered to. I'm not saying we step back from that, But it seems like designing a house to be affordable, it would be as off the shelf as possible, almost modular to a degree.
Yeah.
Well, Bob, the thing is, it's not building it cheap. It's not building, you know, a house and it's only going to cost $200,000 to build because we're not doing anything, you know, safety, environment, whatever. The house still is going to cost, but whoever builds it can only, I'm just going to use numbers here, can only sell it for $200,000 because it's affordable for very low income housing, but it cost me $500,000 to build.
All the fees.
But I'm going to get all these tax incentives for doing that. We're not even building homes that very low income people can afford. The developers are not being allowed to build those and being incentivized to build those.
All right, fair enough. Bob, thanks for the call. Let's get to Paul in San Luis. Hi, Paul.
Hello, Dave. Hello, Lance.
Hey, Paul.
Hey, Lance, didn't they try and put workforce housing in the original Chinatown project that the city approved way back?
Boy, I'm not recalling that. I remember some workforce housing that was supposed to go along Orchid, and that got shut down. I'm not remembering up at Chinatown, though.
Well, remember that Copeland's got that approval to turn the city parking lot into a development.
Yes.
Yes.
And part of the deal, you know, because they would have had to, like, put that property out to bid, you know, to the highest bidder. They gave them a 99-year lease, you know, so that they could just give it directly to them because it wasn't actually selling the property. But from what I understand, I remember this back when we had a newspaper. They were supposed to put 200 units of residential, you know, in with that project. And then once it got approved, they went back and they told the city, well, it's not practical. We don't want to put those residential units in anymore. And the city council just said, okay.
Yeah, and no, I'm remembering that. You're exactly correct on that, and the city should have, if you made the deal, the city should have forced it to be built.
And yeah, and this is
the way I
see it. You know, when and it's inherent with our form of government to where people, developers, can give money to a political candidate, and then you know that political candidate, once they're in office, then they're kind of beholden to their donors, and they do things like that, which is not good for the community in general.
You're exactly right, Paul. And so I'm not looking at to me that's a prime example of a failure of our elected officials.
I'm detecting a theme here.
You know, right. It's the elected officials who should be held responsible for that, but also the administrative side, the non-elected bureaucrats that are also they're the ones that also have a problem and are delaying and pushing back and slowed this and trying to come up with delay, which also adds costs.
All right, Paul, thank you. Craig found a stat. 26% of low-priced U.S. homes purchased last year were bought by institutional investors.
See, I would want to know more how does an institutional investor qualify for low income housing? How do they qualify for Section 8 housing?
To be continued. We'll come back for a short segment with Lance Parker. We're live, we're local, we're hometown. Where Scott in San Luis is going to have the final call. Hey, Scott.
Hello, Dave. Hello, Lance.
Hi, Scott.
Just referring to Bob, I wouldn't go any further on housing downtown, especially for Ross and Beverly. No offense to Bob, but the fact that Rossi's already going to demolish and put 32 apartments at the Creamery, you know, the downtown is suffering the economic power.
Well, let me just clarify. They're not demolishing the Creamery. They're only taking out that parking lot, right?
Yeah, that's okay. What I mean, the parking lot.
All right.
So the 32 apartments going down there. I mean, that's going to hurt those businesses there, and they more likely are going to leave. And I know one is. I'm not going to say on the air. But the fact is that the downtown does not have the economic power it once had. It's because of the congestion, the bike lanes, the roads have been removed, and we're putting too much stack and packs, and we're not focusing on businesses that really want to do business there. They want to go somewhere else now. So that's my point about Beverly's Fabric and Ross for Less. I don't think it's a good idea because, listen, they left because what was built across the street. And that tells you right there that it didn't work for them.
Well, but wait a minute. That Copeland's was built in 94. It took Beverly's a long time to close down.
But the point is they relied on that parking. That was their revenue. That parking gave them the revenue, and that was gone because they had no revenue. Because those customers, they needed that parking to do that kind of business. And because that parking was gone, that they're basically they folded.
Let's get a comment from Lance.
So,
I got
so
one
Scott,
minute.
I agree with you. Downtown is not what it used to be. Downtown is not the economic driver that it used to be. You just walk around and it's starting to get too many places boarded up. We've got too many vacancies. It's not the economic driver that I, you know, when I drive around other parts of the county. I'm shocked at what's going on up in Atascadero.
What's going on, what do you mean?
As far as how they're really going right there by the Sunken Gardens and right there on El Camino up there. It's like, wow, this is actually looking pretty good.
They're totally revitalized in Atascadero.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah. And we're not.
Yeah. But we're out of time, Scott. Thanks for the call. Another fine job by Lance Parker. We might have to keep him coming back. Final thoughts.
Final thoughts. You know, here's another example of our elected officials failing us. Another example of government mandates failing us. It sounds good on a soundbite when you're running for re-election, but in practicality, it's another failure.
Sounds like Lance needs to run for office.
No. I'm unelectable.
Yeah, well, thank you, sir.
I appreciate it, Dave. Always a pleasure, and thanks to all the callers. I always love hearing certain callers. They always keep me on my toes.
The other ones you could care less about.
Yeah.
Here's the news.
The 920 KBEC Podcast Network is presented by the Slo County Real Estate Podcast with Hal Swayze. Up-to-date information on the local real estate market on your time. New episodes weekly at the podcast link at 920kbec.com and wherever you get your podcasts. California DRE 0111911.